You here tonight, gladly, Evangelist Tom Gillum from Winterville, Georgia. He'll preach to your heart and your soul. Open it gladly, Brother Tom. Come and preach to us. Now's not the time to get in a hurry about anything.
Over the past couple of weeks, I've lost focus. And it's amazing to me just how amazing God is. Yeah. Send the preacher all the way from Winterfield, Georgia to read one verse of scripture. I will never forsake you nor leave you. It's just amazing just how good God is.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. If you have a Bible with you tonight, you'll find our text in 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28. We have enjoyed what has already transpired here tonight, and we appreciate these folks coming and singing for us. We appreciate each one of you that have come. Visitors and the home folks, we do not take your presence here lightly tonight. We began on here yesterday and want to continue tonight looking at one promise out of the Bible. Of course, there's hundreds of them, but in these six services, we just want to look at one. It is most familiar to me, I don't know about you, told the folks yesterday, it's most familiar to me the last time it was mentioned. Of course, I don't know, I find sometimes I'm always a day late and a dollar short. Seems like maybe when my ship comes in, I'll be at the train station. And I'm sorry I waited until the last time he said it to get it. But the last time he makes the promise is in Hebrews chapter number 13. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But that is the seventh time he said it. He says it six other times in the Bible. Over thousands of years of Bible history, he just keeps saying it and saying it and saying it. How come he keeps saying it, preacher? He's hoping somebody get it. So we began yesterday preaching on the thought of a promise worth repeating. He just keeps telling it over and over again. We looked at the first two times it was mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses is fixing to die. And our Lord comes along and tells him two times, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we noticed yesterday morning that it's a promise worth parting with. I tell you, if you're going to step out in the unknown tonight and make the great crossing, you don't want no angels with you. You can have angels if you want to. Ain't no angels coming after me. I ain't a-hearing no fluttering when I leave here. He said he was a-coming after me. Huh? He's going to make the crossing with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the only one that's gone both ways. Huh? Ain't no angel ever gone both ways. You have them little old angels all around. I like angels. I'm not against angels, but I want him. Amen? He said he'd come for me. And then on last evening, we noticed that at the crossing of the Jordan, I was thinking of this song they sung tonight. Right before the crossing of the Jordan, Joshua repeated this promise again to the children of Israel, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We preached last night, it's a promise worth pondering. I tell you, instead of pondering how deep your Jordans are and how wide they are, getting your computer going, trying to figure out how you're going to work them circumstances out, quit it. He said, go to pondering this thought, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will be our companion through these circumstances. Tonight, I'd like to look at the promise again, if we could, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Solomon is fixing to build God a house. Right before the building program, his daddy David gives him a promise. If you're going to get in a building program, you better have a hold of this promise. I want us to look at it tonight at a promise worth pursuing. Tells him in verse 20 of chapter number 28, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and try to do it. Don't say nothing about trying, does it? He just said, do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. Here it is, you can underline it, one of the seven times he says it. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, till thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. There shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, and also the princes and all the people will be wholly at thy command. Context of this promise being given, Solomon is fixing to build God a house. Of course, you know God started out in a tent. They worshiped him in a tent. It was mobile. They could move it about. We're going to go from that. Now Solomon's going to build him a house. Of course, he told him, he said, it wouldn't be no way you could build a house where it would contain me. He said, the heavens and the earth couldn't hold me. But Solomon gave a shot at building him a house. Of course, it must have been a pretty good one. Queen of Sheba come over there and took a look at it, and she hyperventilated. She was looking for a brown paper bag to suck into. She said her breath went away from her after she saw it. So it must have been one humdinger of a house. So we've gone from a tent, God dwelling in this temple, this ornate structure. But now we get into the New Testament. God said he got him a new house. Where is he dwelling at now? He said he's come dwell inside of me. I am now the house of God. I am now the dwelling place of God. And it's a big if, because I don't know your heart. But if you're saved, God has decided to live inside of you, dwell inside of you. So now we're all little churches, little houses. If you've got any youngins tonight, you're wanting to raise up some little churches, some little houses of God. Got any grand youngins tonight? You wanting to raise up some little churches, some little houses of God? We're in a building program. We're building God a house. I did not know if you realized it or not, but there's a grave difference tonight in God being in you and on you. I don't doubt he's in a number of you, but I have my doubts as to whether he's on you. Because I've been coming here 10 or 12 times and I've never seen him on some of you at all. Just being honest with you, you know they say confession's good for the soul. But there's a difference in him being in you and being on you. There is a grave difference in him just living inside of you and abiding in you, being at home in you. Of course, I would remind you tonight that we here at Trinity Baptist Church, we are collectively as a body building God a house. He said he will come and inhabit the praise of his people. He'll come and dwell in our midst. There is a grave difference tonight in him being here and his manifested presence. Big difference in him showing up and showing out. He comes to every service. I wonder sometimes if he wished he didn't have to. But if we're here, he's got to come. He comes inside of us. But I want us to look tonight at the building program that Solomon got in for this ornate, probably billion-dollar structure that he built for God to dwell in. Take those thoughts and apply it to what kind of house are you and I building for God to live in. I didn't know if you know it or not. He won't just live anywhere. Oh, no, he won't live anywhere. I was thinking about that not long ago. Preacher friend of mine, one of his friends had asked him, he said, "You ever smoke?" And he said, "Oh, Lord, Jed," he said, "I smoked for years." He said, "How'd you quit?" He told him, he said, "If I tell you, will you promise you won't laugh at me?" That's what the preacher told his friend. He said, "I promise I won't laugh at you." He said, "One day I was smoking a cigarette," and he said, "the Holy Ghost whispered to me." He said, "I'm a sick and tired of living in a tobacco shop." He said, "I flipped it away and never smoked another. Awful smoky down there, maybe. We build him in a house." And a house, so we build it. As we begin to look at the text and unpack it before us, I want us to notice first of all tonight the principles for building. God's got some principles for building. These are not preferences. These are principles. You know, there is a big difference in a principle and a preference. Preference, something you can take it or leave it. Principle, something you're worth dying for. You take if a man come in here tonight and put a shotgun to my head and asked me to deny if it's all right for a woman to wear pants or not, I'd tell him, "Uncock that shotgun, we'll talk about it." Huh? "I'd blow your brains all over the wall if you want to, and blowing mine on the wall." Huh? No. I guarantee you, I know you think it's a principle. He cock that shotgun, you'll put it in preference category quickly. Huh? But see, these things here tonight in this building program, these are not preferences. These are the dyed-in-the-cement principles tonight. The first principle I would mention tonight is the principle of intentions. Principle of intentions. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 in verse number 2, "Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood.'" David said, God told him, "You can't build me a house. Your hands are bloody." Holding your finger right here for just a second, we're talking about the principle of intentions. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse number 7. "Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thy heart." God said he checked David's intentions and he saw that his intentions was right. And although David did nothing, God blessed his intentions. I was wondering tonight, what is your intentions for being here? Have you come tonight to fulfill an obligation? Have you come here tonight because your mom and daddy has made you? Is it you got the right intentions tonight? There is the principle of intentions. He knows the intentions of our heart. I hear people saying all the time, well, he knows my heart. That's what scares me. He knows my heart. He knows it's wicked as a devil. Huh? I know the Bible said it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it says, who can know it? Can I answer the question? He does. He knows our intentions. There is the principle. Hey, if you're going to build him a house, he's going to be at home inside you. He's going to get on you. You better check your intentions tonight. Principle of intentions. Back to our text in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. We notice not only is there the principle of intentions, but there is the principle of integrity. Watch the text if you've got it there. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 in verse number 9. He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy fathers and serve him with what? Hold on. Perfect heart. Whoa, man, that won't cut you no slack, will it? Perfect heart. That little word perfect there tonight is a fully surrendered heart. God said, if I'm going to be at home inside of you and if I'm going to get on you tonight, you got to have a perfect heart inside of you. Fully surrendered heart. Heart tonight is one's thoughts. He said, I'm going to have all your thoughts tonight if I'm going to be at home inside of you. Man's heart tonight is his feelings, his emotions. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, if I'm going to be at home inside of you, he said, I got to have all your feelings tonight. You can't let them go haywire. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, no, no, no. He said, I won't feel at home in there. He said, I'll be sort of edgy in there. Can't sit down and rest. Huh? He said, if I'm going to dwell inside of you, not only have I got to have all your thinking, I got to have all your feeling, he said, I'm going to have all your doings. I got to call all your goings and comings. Huh? Got to have a perfect heart. I notice in our text, in this principle of integrity, he said, serve me with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. There's an interesting little thought there. That little thought of a willing mind tonight. The little word willing there is the exchange of the will. And the little word mind there is the center or the dwelling place of all the passions and the appetites. Whoa. He said, I've got to be the center there. He said, you're going to have to exchange your will for my will. I hear people talking all the time about they got a free will. Bless God, I got the free will of choice. Well, if you want an extra one, you can have mine. I'll let you have mine, and then you can say, I got two. Huh? Because mine ain't never got me to God. Of my old free will, never got me to God. It always takes me away from God. How come? Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Impossible. It'll never get me to God. You'll never choose God. I don't care if you tried 100 million times, you'll never pick God. It's impossible. So if you want a free will, so what am I to do? Do the same thing Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but thine be done. There's an exchange of wills. He said, I don't want my will, I want your will. Huh? Oh, that is the principle of integrity tonight in building tonight. You're going to have to give up your stinking will. Stop saying you want a choice. It didn't matter. God's got all the choices. He never let you no choices at all. Adam made one, messed it up, and he said, I ain't going to let nobody else make none. You say, I don't like that. Take it up with him. He's the one that said he did it. I'm at the principle of integrity tonight. Got to have a perfect heart. Got to have a willing mind tonight. He has got to be at the center and the hub of all the passions and all the appetite. But not only do I see in the principles, the principle of intention, principle of integrity, but look there in verse number 9, I see the principle of interest. What's your interest tonight? Huh? When you're by yourself, ain't nobody else around, what do?
Preacher, I get my Bible out and read it.
Do you now? That's a good interest, if that's what you do. Huh? Principle of interest. He says in our text, verse number 9, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations, if the thoughts, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. He said, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. He said, if you seek him, we're talking about a promise worth pursuing. If you're going to build God a house and he's going to be at home in there, you got to be seeking him. The little word seek is an interesting word. It means to pant after him. David said, my heart panteth after God like a deer pants after water brook. Would this be an adequate description of your heart in its relationship with God? Or has it been after the world today, last 24-hour period? Huh? If you're going to build God a house, you got to have a pursuit after him. I was wondering tonight, you that claim to be saved, and I'm not going to doubt you can't see your heart. I'm just saying if you're building God a house, it's the kind of building program you ought to be in. You're going to be in this kind of building program if he's inside of you. Now, I can't tell whether he's in there or not, but you can check the building program. You're going to be on a life quest of trying to find God, pursuing him, wanting to know him. Would you say tonight you was on a life quest? You're in hot pursuit of God. You want to know him. Talking about the principles for building. Would you go further with me? We're talking about a promise worth pursuing. Solomon's going to build God a house. We get in the New Testament. We are now the house of God. We're going to take the principles that Solomon used. We're going to use them in our building program. I am building God a house. There must be the principles of building, but watch the text. There is a pattern for building. Ain't just building any old house. Oh, no, you throw up no clapboard mess and he going to get in it. Oh, no, he won't dwell in nothing unless it's clean. It's a pattern for building. On four different occasions in our text, in verse number 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. Again in verse number 12, and the pattern. Again in verse number 18, and for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern. Again in verse number 19, all this said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. You got one pattern. You're going to build God a house. You got to build according to the pattern. The little word pattern that he uses here, it is the little word a model, a likeness, a figure, a similitude to be like another building. I notice in our text that it is a precise pattern. Doesn't delete, move about in the pattern. The pattern is precise. He tells him in verse number 11. He tells him about the porches. He tells him in verse number 12 about the courts and the chambers and the treasures. Everything is precise. Peter said this. He says he has left us a pattern or an example that we should follow his steps. The little word pattern or example there is the little word for the kindergarten letters when they lay them down and trace them out. God said, I've left you a pattern. He said, lay yourself down on the pattern. He said, trace it out. If there's any excess, cut it away. It's got to go. You got to be just like me when you're done. It's a pattern. I did not know if you know this or not, but I wouldn't want to surprise you and scare you tonight, but the Baptist church is not the pattern. Huh? Oh, no. I wished it was. Gracious, if that's the pattern, tonight, all I got to do is quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing, and don't go to the beach, go to the coast, and make sure I keep my hair cut, and my wife don't wear no pants, and just fluff my little wings a little bit, I'm ready to fly. That's all I got to do. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Got to read the King James Bible every now and then. Huh? I'm ready. That ain't the pattern. I'm telling you, you can compare yourself to other people, and Paul tells us not to do it. Other people's not the pattern. I don't know about you, whenever I go to compare myself, I always try to find somebody in worse shape than I am. I've been on a diet all my life. I think I was born on a diet. I was either getting on one or getting off of one. But every time I get real serious about a diet, I never look at skinny people. I always find me somebody fatter than me. So I can say to myself, at least one thing, I ain't as big as they are. You listening to me tonight? See, that's not the pattern. This is a precise pattern. Preacher, in this building program, what have I got to line up with in order to just get in the gate of heaven? I've got to be just like him. Whoa. Whoa. It is a precise pattern. Hey, I was wondering, not being nosier, are you building up to code? See, he got to be, you know, if anybody's in the building, I guess I've been around it so long now because my son's been in the building so long. Man, it's just code after code. And if you ever get around the building, they always, oh, great, they got so many codes. They just so much red tape. Hey, hon, God's got a building code. He's got a lot of red tape. Building code. You're building up to code. But I notice not only is it a precise pattern, but I notice in verse number 12, there is a power for the pattern. He don't literally, you can't build him no house by yourself. Oh, no, you're going to have some power. Huh? Where you get power at? Watch the text. Look at verse number 12. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. There's the power. That little word by there is an interesting word. It means to descend upon. If you're going to build God an adequate house, you're going to have the Holy Ghost on you. You're going to have the Holy Ghost in you tonight. In order to build according to code, in order to build him a precise pattern, in order to be like him, it is all in vain unless you have the power of the Holy Ghost. I have found in my years of traveling, this might surprise some of you, but did you know that it's easier to join a Baptist church than it is a family of God? Huh? It's easier to join a Baptist church than it is the family of God. When I was a kid, my mom and dad took me to a church, and they had a particular membership, they called it. You couldn't join that church for a year. They'd take you under the watch care of the church, and they would watch you for a year. And at the end of the year, they'd tell you whether they'd take you or not. In Baptist churches today, all you got to do is come forward, most of them. I know it's not here. Aren't you Trinityites? You ought to stand up and shout. You got a preacher who won't let you join like that. That way you won't get a bunch of goats in. You got to throw them a rag and a can every now and then to play with. Huh? You listening to me tonight? He won't let your youngins go down some Romans road, German road, French road, pray some little old prayer. He ain't going to find me in no altar praying anybody, reading anybody, or talking anybody into the kingdom. If the Holy Ghost can't get them in, I'm a leaving them alone. You listening to me tonight? He's got the power for the pattern. They had a particular membership. I found when I pastored, it took me a while to figure it out, but I figured out when I had some making professions, they called it, I would wait 6 months before I'd baptize them. What? I'd wait 6 months before I baptize them. I had found that I usually didn't have to put any water in the baptismal pool for most of them, because they were usually gone by the end of 6 months. I didn't waste my time, and I didn't waste their time wetting a towel to dry theirself with. Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? You say, well, bless God, they baptized the converts in the Bible right after they were saved. I'd say if you could fly in the Holy Ghost, you could baptize your converts too after they get saved. That's what old Philip did. He could fly in the Holy Ghost, couldn't he? He was a flying on Holy Ghost Airlines. He baptized his converts after they got saved. I'm talking about the power for the pattern. I was thinking about that again today. Years ago when I pastored, my wife was at her mother's house up in Virginia one time, and her mother was a-flipping through the channels. And my wife hollered at her, she said, stop, 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 go back to that channel. She looked at it. It was one of those Ricky Lake shows. And they were having girls on there that had multiple interracial marriages. And my wife looked at it and she said, my gracious, she said, there's two of my husband's converts on there. Two old gals I had baptized. They wouldn't know God if he come in on a fire truck blowing a siren. It was one of that crowd I didn't wait 6 months on. Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? Oh, see, he's give power for this pattern tonight. If God's living inside, he's made a house out of you, he will get you to building according to pattern. He'll get you to building according to code. There's a precise pattern. There's a power for the pattern. Don't miss this. Awful important. There's a price for the pattern. You can't build God no house. Hey, ain't cheap to have God living inside of you. Preacher, you got any idea if God's living inside of me? If I want to build him an adequate house, you got any idea? Just ballpark figure what it would cost me. Oh, yeah, I can tell you exactly. Everything you got. Songwriter summed it up best when he said this, my soul, my life, my all. I doubt very seriously from here to there to there to here to here to there to there, there's anybody in this building giving him your soul, your life, your all. He's got to have it tonight or he'll not be at home inside of you. Huh? Not get on you tonight like he wants to in power. I'm telling you tonight, him having converts tonight, he ain't having no basement sale. This ain't no going out of business. He ain't having no fire sale. Oh, no. You're not gonna see a counter says, bargain basements for the kingdom of God. No. No. If you build him a house, it's going to cost you everything you got. Notice the price for the pattern. He said in verse number 14, and he gave gold by weight. Multiple stacks of gold is the word for weight. Again in verse number 16, and by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread and silver for the tables of silver. Verse number 17, he said he gave pure gold. Verse number 18, he said he gave refined gold. What kind of gold is that, preacher? Oh, that's gold been in the fire. Preacher, how can I build him an adequate house? How can I get rid of all of me and just have him left? Oh, that's simple. He's going to put you in the fire. Burn the devil out of you. Take all of you and burn it away. He's going to keep heating it up hotter and hotter. Hey, we ain't on no good ship lollipop. Oh, no, we on the old ship of Zion. We apparently have said he's dwelling inside of us. We are making him a house. What's he going to do? He's going to burn all the dross away. He's going to keep putting you in the fire. He's going to keep turning it up hotter and hotter. Hey, you can quit sucking your thumb if you're having trouble now. You can quit coming over here whining at you. Y'all break me out of what I'm going to do. Hey, he told you he was going to have trouble. Going to have a bunch of it. Huh? If you're making him a house. Huh? It's a price to be paid. Oh, listen to me tonight. Before you go to getting all fuzzy-wuzzy here tonight, man, that preacher, whoo, man, I'm going to start pursuing him tonight. Man, I'm going to start panting after him. Hey, better count the cost before you build this house. Oh, yeah. Oh, preacher, you got any idea what it'll cost me? Oh, yeah, I can. It'll cost you everything you got and then some. Huh? Oh, I'm talking about a pattern for building. Could I notice this little thought in our text? Not only is there a pattern for building, there's principles for building, but I notice there's a promise for the building. Verses 20 and 21, there's a promise that gives hope. Gives hope. He says in verse number 20, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. How long? Until. That little word until is a period of time. He said, until the work is finished. Preacher, you talking about when I finish my work here, he's going to stay with me? No. Bible says over in Revelations, he saw a multitude of people that were innumerable, and they were serving him day and night. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, my work's still not going to be finished. I'm going to worship him and serve him throughout eternity. And he told me, he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee until the work is finished. I am under the understanding that it'll never be finished. So he ain't a never leaving me, and he's a never forsaking me. I don't know about you, that's a giving me hope while it's a coming out of my mouth. Huh? It's a promise of hope. But I notice not only is there a promise that gives hope, but there's a promise that gives him. The Bible says in verse number 20, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. I was wondering, now it's a crazy question. Would you like to have David's God with you? You know, David had a big old God. His God can make mountains clap their hands. Make trees clap their hands. He had a big old God. He had a God so big, said that he had all of the stars numbered and named. Whoa, man, that's a big old God. He said, Solomon, he said, you can have God, even my God. Oh, I'll tell you, if you're building God a house tonight, to have David's God, not only is there a promise of hope, there's a promise that gives him, but there's a promise that gives help. He said he will help us tonight. Oh, he is a present help in trouble. He is a God who brings well-timed help. He loves for the problem and the solution to run into one another. I like that, don't you? Oh, I'm talking about a promise that gives help tonight. Could I close with this little thought? Talking about a promise worth pursuing. What are you after tonight? You building according to code? Huh? I tell you, this thing's bigger than making some old profession, praying some little old prayer and saying you're saved on your way to heaven. I believe hell will be full of Baptists that prayed sinner's prayer. Been down to Romans Road, German Road, French Road, don't know nothing. went forward in some church and some preacher asked him, says, are you trusting in Jesus? Won't get baptized. I got a motion. First, second, you do it. Wouldn't know God if it come in on a fire truck. Huh? You listening to me tonight? Huh? Got to be building according to pattern. It's precise pattern. Got to have principles. Got to have promise. But I notice in chapter number 29, verse number 10, there's a prayer for the building. Solomon is and David is going to offer the dedication prayer for this building. I notice in this prayer that he mentions the beauty of God's person. Verse number 10, he said, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Old David had a forever God. Hey, you got a forever God? Hey, you ain't got one of those gods that ain't had no beginning, didn't have no end, do you? Huh? He's been from everlasting to everlasting. You know, I know it sounds like he must be old and decrepit, but he doesn't need any help tonight. And it is that God says, I'll come, I'll never leave you nor forsake you tonight. Watch the text now. Verse number 11, he says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is thine. Even all that junk over at your house belongs to him. It all belongs to him. Hey, if he wants to come in the middle of the night and get anything that belongs to you, he ought not to have to pry your fingers loose from it, because it belongs to him. Huh? Oh, I'm talking about the beauty of his person tonight. He'll not share his glory with no one tonight. I notice not only in this prayer is there a prayer for the beauty of his person, but I notice there's a prayer for the bounty of God's provision. Mentions in verse number 12, both riches and honor come of thee. Huh? Everything you got tonight comes from him. I hear people all the time making this stupid statement. I bless God, I work for everything I got. You ain't never worked for nothing you got. Huh? He'd have left you sucking air a long time ago. Huh? You ain't never worked for nothing you got. Everything you got, God give it to you. If you got a bunch tonight, he did it. If you ain't got nothing, he did it. You got a big checkbook, he did it. If you got a checkbook that said, don't write no more checks out of this book, he did it. Huh? Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. He is magnifying the bounty of his provision. I notice in verse number 13, now therefore our God, we thank thee. He begins to worship him. He said, we praise thee. That little word praise means to act clamorously foolish in public. I was wondering tonight, you that say you save, God's living inside of you. You say tonight that you're building God a house. Have you ever acted clamorously foolish in public? Huh? Has God ever gotten on you and you had to do something publicly? Now, I'm hoping for some of you, and I've been coming here a long time. It's like I told you when I started the sermon. I ain't never seen God on none of some of you before. And I'm hoping and praying that when he does get on you, it is not here. I'm hoping it's down at Walmart in the line on Mexican night. And you got to dance a jig and shout down there in the checkout line with all the Hispanics looking at you. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Because sooner or later, if he's in you, I don't know where it is, I don't know where it'll be, but he's going to get on you as a confirmation that he's in you. Got to happen sooner or later. He begins to worship. He says in verse number 15, he said, "For we are strangers before thee." He said, "We are sojourners." Those two little words there are misfits, weirdos, just passing through. Brother Scott, I don't want to upset you. You got a church full of weirdos and misfits, and they're just passing through. Ha ha. He said here in our text, he's worshiping him now. He said, "Our days on earth are as a shadow. There's none abiding." Old David is praying the prayer over the house. He's broke out in worship. He sees his own nothingness and sees God's bigness. I preached the whole sermon to get right here. In this prayer for the building, not only do I see the beauty of his person, I see the bounty of his provision, but I see in verse number 25 the bestowment of his presence. There is only one reason that you ought to be building God a dwelling place, a house. You are anticipating at some time or another that he is going to confirm the building program by getting on you. Getting on you. Watch the text, verse number 25. "And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel." He did something that made Solomon stand out. Everybody had to turn around and say, "My word, what in the world's happened to Solomon? What did he do to him?" Watch the text. "He bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel." That little word "royal" there has the idea of being overwhelmed. And the little word "majesty" there is the Old Testament word for Shekinah glory. He said he overwhelmed him with the glory of God. That is the reason tonight that we're building him a house. We are wanting. Hey, Trinity Baptist, the only reason you're meeting here tonight, the only reason you come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, you want God to confirm that you are in a building program by his manifested glory upon what you're doing. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, we're in a building program tonight, and he's given us a promise worth pursuing. God sent Christ. Christ was the expressed image of his person. Christ came into this world to manifest God to the world. When they saw Jesus, they saw God. Jesus is gone. He has now placed us here. He has gotten inside of us, and he calls us Christians. Christ-like. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be manifesting to the world. Look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. I'm in a building program. I'm wanting to manifest his presence. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, where are you at in your building program? You laid a foundation yet? You know what the foundation would be, don't you? It's an old-time Holy Ghost experience with God. I'm not talking about praying no prayer. I ain't never prayed no sinner's prayer. Morning I got saved, they tried for over an hour. Took me down to Roman Road, German Road, French Road. I never did pray no prayer. Couldn't quit crying. Every time they tried to get me to pray, I just couldn't quit crying. I was so broke up. But I know one thing. It's been almost 40 years ago. I ain't got over it yet. God got inside of me. Several times since then, he's got on me. Huh? Are you listening to me? Where you at in your building program tonight? Hey. Have you brought up any walls yet? Walls speak of a hedge. speak of that security tonight, protecting us from what's in there and keeping some things out of there. How you in your building program? You put up any walls yet? Hey, I was wondering tonight, have any of you got far enough along that you got it roofed in? Huh? See, you get that roof in there, that's you under authority then. You're submissive. You done that exchange wheel job. You ain't calling no more shot. Every time there's a choice comes up, you know, multiple choice, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you just tell God, say, God, I ain't making no choices. You just make it a one-laner and I'll move. If you don't make it a one-laner, I'm staying right here. I ain't a-moving. Huh? I got the thing roofed in. Hey, ain't none of you started that meticulous inside work yet, have you? You know that ornate stuff, man, you got to be careful when you build that. You can chip something right quick. I'm talking about that intimate relationship. That, you know, doing crazy things like when you normally get up at 5 o'clock and you're doing crazy stuff like setting the clock for 4 o'clock. You want to spend an hour before you go to work with God. You know, crazy stuff like that. You're doing some of that ornate work. Inside. Where are you at in the building program? Have you even started a building program? I don't know about you. I'm not going to testify for you tonight. But I want to get to the end of my life. Step out into eternity. God meet me and tell me, said, Bud, you never did build according to code. Just throwed you up something you thought it was here, a house for me. And build according to code. I don't want to do that, do you? I was thinking in closing tonight. You remember old John the Baptist in the Bible? He had a real problem during his ministry. They kept getting him and Jesus mixed up. Oh, yeah, they asked the disciples one day, said, Jesus asked him, he said, who do men say I am? One of the disciples said, gracious, some of them think you're John the Baptist. When Jesus come on the scene, you know what old Herod said? He said, he said, there ain't nothing but that John the Baptist that I cut his head off. He done come back in the form of that Jesus. Kept getting them mixed up. I was a wonder, not being nosy. Do you have that problem? Get you and Jesus mixed up. And at work, he think you Jesus. I mean, you can go down there to work and tell the folks at work, if you've seen me, you've seen the Lord. I am his image and representative. I am his house. I am manifesting his likeness in this world. I don't know how you feel about it tonight. That's a tough act for us to be following tonight. I'm talking about a promise worth pursuing. He'd not leave us alone to build this house. Why, he said, and I didn't know if you know tonight, but he's the building inspector. Huh? He's always on the building grounds. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Would you stand with us tonight? I'm going to ask the Dagenharts if they wouldn't come back to again tonight while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe sing us something. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know your heart. I fear tonight some of you have never laid a foundation. All you might have prayed a prayer, made a profession, joined the church, got baptized, but you know you ain't got God in you. Some of you have been saved. I know you've been saved. I know you're on your way to heaven. But you know you ain't never experienced God on you. You've never experienced the glory. It's because of the house you built. You're not intent on building him a walls and a roof and getting in that ornate work inside, intimate with him. He's not going to come on that house until you really get serious about the building program. I wonder tonight, while they sing, while we wait on God just for a few moments,